intended to be disruptive and destructive. There were multiple tools used in this process. There was some encryption involved, but a lot of it was, like I said, disruptive.
Disruptive how? What did they do?
They took out a lot of our servers. They took out a good number of our servers. I'd say over 120 servers.
So what'd they do?
They destroyed them in a way that disrupted everything that we're doing here. You know, you can imagine a small town of around 250 servers. You know, if 60% of them were wiped out in a tornado, even those houses that were still standing wouldn't have electricity, wouldn't have water. We're really left without function and without the ability to really process. So we've really, from the beginning here, been focused on pulling the infrastructure back together and just getting service back out, prioritizing service to the students and the faculty, getting these classes back running. We've been able to provide all that, I think, in a reasonable time, considering the circumstances. But we have a lot of departmental functions, business functions, and even some of the supporting functions. And I'm happy to hear that tomorrow we're opening the library, but we still have online data sources for the library that we haven't restored yet. We're really focused heavily on our efforts to just bring this world back together.
You're going to accelerate plans to put some functions into the cloud instead of rebuilding things as they were. What remains to be done?
Well, our primary student systems are our Canvas and our math classes, which are a big part of what we do, are online. Our email systems are online. We prioritized our student-facing services first. We're in the middle of bringing our business services back, and I think we got a couple weeks yet before we hit that 80 or 90% mark. I think it'll take even a few more weeks. It may take us a couple months to get through all of the smaller systems that are potentially department-based. So one of the things is not only does it take time to bring that all back, but we're bringing it back. We're having more security analysis of each system as we're bringing it back. Some of the things that we're doing are changing the face. You know, our look and feel is changing with the situation as we are implementing probably better and even more modern protections to different users. So a lot to go yet.
So for something like this, time is the biggest cost in recovery, but do you have a dollar estimate yet on the cost of the attack?
That's hard to say yet. You know, we've been at this for two weeks and a day, and it's been more human resources. The hardware equipment generally can be recovered. It just needs to be restored, refreshed. The firmware needs to be installed. The operating systems need to be installed from scratch. Restoring from backups takes a lot of time.
With the attack on Illinois Valley Community College coupled with yours, is there something about colleges that make them targets?
One of the struggles we have is, you know, we're not a bank. We're not other corporations that you might consider, you know, as variations of Fort Knox are. Our job here is to support students and support the community. We need to provide an open campus that students can get into and engage and do different programs. And when you're trying to provide an environment that's open like that, that just adds to the complexity when we're trying to secure some systems too, our business systems that are relatively close to them.
How carefully considered was the timing of the attack?
So really Monday, October 5th, we started seeing system problems right towards the beginning of the day, right in that 7 to 8 a.m. time frame. We could see that there was heavy activity actually starting around 1 a.m. So it was intended and targeted, again, to be disruptive and to catch us before the start of day on Monday. And it was. They were successful. They were very disruptive in what they did.
So how often does this sort of thing happen?
I know that it's become that 2019 saw a significant increase nationally. I do think that there's been another surge with the COVID situation due to how employees and most people having to work from home has given more opportunity for criminals to take advantage. And, you know, prior prior to COVID, we always saw the biggest surges on holidays. We saw them on July 4th. We saw them around Christmas. We saw them around Thanksgiving, the beginning of summer. When people are distracted with other things, the cyber criminals are aware of that, and they try and take advantage.